from the KTOO Newsroom. I'm Claire Strempel with a quick look at local and statewide news. This year's Alaska Permanent Fund dividend payout is $3,284. That includes a $650 energy relief check approved by the legislature earlier this year. Governor Mike Dunleavy announced the final amount during a press conference this Thursday afternoon at the Three Bears grocery store in Palmer.
For a family of five, that's over $16,000. That's going to help pay for a lot of things. Everything from fuel, food, medical bills, car repairs, rent, you name it. It's going to help.
Eligible Alaskans who applied online and opted for direct deposit should start receiving their money on September 20th. Alaskans who filed paper applications or requested a paper check should start receiving the dividend the week of October 3rd. Adjusting for inflation, this year's dividend total is among the highest in the state's history. If you don't adjust for inflation, it's the highest total, which Dunleavy highlighted during his news conference. The latest improved COVID-19 vaccine booster shots are now being distributed in Juneau. Most people who have had their primary series are eligible, but children under age 12 are not. Juneau's deputy city manager, Robert Barr, says the pharmacy at Costco had some of the first appointments this past weekend.
Most providers in town are still waiting for their first shipment. Pretty much all of the same pharmacies that have been vaccinating to date will be getting this updated booster so people can use who they're comfortable with and used to.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommends everyone stay up to date on these vaccinations. These new boosters have emergency use authorization from federal authorities. They're bivalent, which means they target two strains of COVID-19, the original one and Omicron. Specifically, the two Omicron subvariants that have become most widespread. Barr says the planning meetings he's been having with distributors and providers don't have the urgency of the early days of the initial vaccine rollout.
Versus what it was like when we were originally doing this, it's a completely different environment, completely different feeling.
However, he says it's important to remember that protection against severe illness from COVID-19 wanes over time, and the data is beginning to show that decline. For most people, boosters restore that protection with minimal risk. Barr says the city is also working on putting together a pop-up vaccine clinic in October. No specifics yet. Barr spoke during KTOO's Juneau Afternoon on Wednesday. NPR reports that White House officials are saying COVID boosters could become a regularly updated once-a-year shot, like people get for the flu. The CDC has a short questionnaire on its website that helps steer people to what type of vaccine or booster they should seek to stay up to date. The Matanuska-Susitna Borough School District will no longer allow transgender students to use communal bathrooms and locker rooms that match their gender identity. Last night, Wednesday, the school board suspended a policy that allowed transgender students to use bathrooms and locker rooms of their choice. The board voted to suspend the policy in a 5-1 vote. The board's policy committee suggested the change after a parent contacted the board about a transgender girl changing in a high school girl's locker room. Dozens of people attended last night's meeting. All 27 spoke in favor of suspending the policy. Some parents, like Cher Morrison, were concerned about girls' safety and privacy.
I'm appalled at the district's transgender student policy. This policy takes my daughter's rights from her in order to give male students extra privileges.
Others cited religious beliefs and denied that gender identity could be different than biological sex. Student Representative Vanessa Schakel argued that suspending the policy would invade students' privacy by requiring students to disclose or prove their biological sex. Member Dwight Probasco was the only no vote. He said he wanted to ensure that transgender students had an alternative, like a gender-neutral bathroom.
Probably less than 2% of our student population, they are transgender children. And we have to protect them also. So I will be voting no on this suspension tonight.
Under the new policy, transgender students can still opt to use individual bathrooms rather than communal ones. Community organizations across Southeast Alaska will receive more than $12 million in federal grants. The funding is from the USDA as part of a new strategy to get money where communities need it. Coast Alaska's Angela Denning reports.
$12.4 million in funds are being given to three regional groups to partner with Southeast communities and encourage sustainable economies. The nonprofit business developer, Spruce Root, was awarded $6.4 million from the Forest Service for community-based forestry projects throughout the region. The regional tribal government, Central Council of Thlinkit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska is receiving nearly $3 million from rural development. That's for local programs in the region involving food security and environmental work. The economic development nonprofit Southeast Conference is receiving just over $3 million for economic diversification through community projects. The Southeast Conference will also work with Spruce Root and Thlinkit and Haida to set up partnerships. Ralph Wolf directs Spruce Root's program, Sustainable Southeast Partnership, which works with communities throughout the region. He says the funds are a new direction for the USDA.
Thinking outside of their normal application processes and kind of an approach similar to what we take as the community out. So making sure to ask the community what their wants and needs are and figuring out ways that they can use their resources to help achieve those goals.
He says the new regional sustainability strategy, being called SAS, uses more of a grassroots approach, looking at what solutions are already recognized on the local level.
It's a great way for the USDA to take a different approach on equity. And I really think that it amplifies the collaboration and partnership that it's taken for all of these communities to survive, to continue building and re-strengthening ourselves to be more sustainable and more in sync with nature and all of our partners throughout the region.
The federal funds also include smaller direct grants to communities for projects like a wood pellet mill in Ketchikan, expanding the 4-H youth program in Sitka, a snowpack monitoring and deer strategy program in Huna, and a program in CAKE to train residents to monitor resources. In a joint press release with the regional recipients, Thlinkit and Haida says the funding agreements are an example of USDA's commitment to its federal trust responsibilities, saying that it, quote, recognizes the critical role of tribes in the co-stewardship of our lands and waters and sustainability of our communities, end quote. Southeast Conference Executive Director Robert Venables called USDA's partnership approach a game-changing shift. The Southeast Alaska Sustainability Strategy was first announced by the USDA last July. The program's priorities include ending large-scale timber sales on the Tongass National Forest, reinstituting the 2001 roadless rule that the Trump administration repealed, and working with regional tribes for short and long-term investments. Reporting in Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
Representative-elect Mary Peltola touched down in Bethel Wednesday evening to spend a few nights in her hometown before she heads to Washington, D.C. Peltola will serve as Alaska's sole U.S. representative and become the first Alaska Native in Congress when she's sworn in next Tuesday. KYUK's Nina Kravinsky was at the Bethel Airport where supporters gathered to welcome her.
A small crowd circled Peltola next to the baggage carousel at the Alaska Airlines terminal. Alaska's soon-to-be congresswoman pulled a green roller bag behind her as she hugged family and friends and took photos with supporters. Some had signs to welcome Peltola home. Kathy Hansen's homemade poster board sign simply said, Rep. Peltola.
I am so excited that we have actually elected a U.S. representative who is from here, and she's a woman. Oh my gosh. And she's Alaska Native.
Other supporters, like Alice Jung, just happened to be catching flights, but were excited to be swept into the welcoming committee, even if they weren't there specifically to greet Peltola.
It's just good to see Alaska Native in there, you know, and she knows all our problems in the bush.
Gracie Nelson was also at the airport to catch a flight out of town, and she and her two nieces hopped into a group picture with Peltola and a crowd of supporters, family, and friends.
Just so proud of her. She's come along so well for herself, and she's done so much, I feel like. Everybody's going for her.
Okay, I'm going to try not to cry.
Bev Hoffman helped organize the event. She's known Peltola since the congresswoman-elect was a child.
That was Nina Kravinsky in Bethel. Alaska mushing icon Lance Mackey has died at the age of 52. Mackey's comeback kennel announced on its Facebook page that Mackey passed away Wednesday night after, quote, a long battle with cancer, unquote. He survived a bout with throat cancer 20 years ago, but was re-diagnosed last year. Mackey lived in Fairbanks and has been a fixture in long-distance sled dog racing for many years. He won the Yukon Quest 4 years in a row, starting in 2005. He's the only musher to win the Iditarod 4 straight years. The 1,000-mile races are held just a month apart. He became the only musher to win both races in the same year in 2007, a feat many thought impossible. And then he did it again the next year. Mackie is survived by his two young children. Scattered showers today in Juneau, rain likely Friday afternoon and Friday night. Patchy fog, but otherwise mostly sunny weather for Saturday.